Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Well, 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 what a free agency we have is going on. I've no idea. It's utter madness. As always, the other half of 5 Yard is here with me. Big man, how are we on this Friday evening?
You managed to make it seem like we were a married couple, mate. I know we've done a lot of podcasts together. I think we're still a long way away from marriage. There's the whole courtship stage and a few other bits to go, I'm sure. But no, I'm all good. It is a Friday. Yes, apologies for being a little bit late. We did put a little cheeky pod out yesterday with my good friend Kevin Murray just to tie you over so you didn't miss us too much. But we are here having the time of our lives. Celebrating free agency F word, and I refuse to use the F word on a family show. And I'm not talking about the FC UK abbreviation moving around, but the other one that every single podcaster seemed to have adopted this year. And so instead, we're here to talk about free agency. Oh, Pitsy's in the house. Hello, Pitsy. I'm excited. It's been a busy week, as you say. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year because it's the closest that NFL has to transfer deadline day, but it starts at the beginning, which I really like because it builds that optimism. So unless you're like the Jets who just don't sign anybody or some other teams who just don't do a particularly good job in this period, for most teams, your team is excluded stocks because you've done absolutely nothing in your free agency. It does give you a sense of hope, of renewal, of, okay, so we're going to have some new guys and some old guys back. And it kind of like gets you excited for the season, regardless of whether you're going to be contending for a Super Bowl or whether you're going to be contending for the first overall pick. Pitsy, yeah, so much better than deadline day. This week has been fantastic so far. And I agree, because deadline day's really sort of dived off a cliff. It used to be a great thing about 15 years ago, and now it is absolute dross. Sky have seemed to have absolutely killed it with their over-reporting of stuff. Like, oh, somebody's got into a car. Breaking news. Breaking news. Someone's in a car. I'm like, yeah, come on. That was so 2012. So, yeah. No, it's been a great week. As a Buccaneers fan, I'm delighted we've got some good business done this week. As an NFL fan, I'm delighted. There's been a lot of great moves. I'm really excited to see how this shakes out. And as a fantasy fan, I'm even more excited because a lot of good players have got a lot of good moves. So, yeah, all systems go, my friend. What about you? What's your view on the week so far?
In fairness, if we'd have done this last night, we would have missed a hell of a lot of stuff that's gone on between what we would have recorded last night and right now. So that's we can true. Add that news in and it wouldn't be a week old when we get to next week. I am completely unaware, really, of what is going on because of how much of it has thrown me, just knocked me out of the park, really. I've got a lot of teams that have were in good positions, dynasty teams this is, and now I'm not entirely sure where they sit because of moves that I made before free agency and what has happened during this part of free agency so far. So there's been a lot of, like you say, exciting stuff. Personally, my teams, I think I can't, we've still got the fantasy drafts to do for rookies and stuff, but I think a lot of my teams that were sitting pretty, hoping to strengthen with some good draft picks, are now fighting against mediocrity with those draft picks included. So far, I'm not personally excited by it. And then you mentioned how the Broncos have done nothing apart from break hearts from, well, basically 2 years ago when we signed Russell Wilson. But yeah, it's, I can see what you're saying about there being some good stuff for fantasy in the NFL, because it is exciting. Like, this has definitely put an exciting step into the social part of it, you know, the online Twitter and Facebook and groups and stuff. There is definitely a lot of chat, which is always good for, you know, this time of year can be really quiet in group chats and stuff like that. But this has put people into group chats that haven't spoken in years that I've seen of messaging in group chats. So it's doing good for fantasy communication, at least, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And also, as a Broncos fan, you get a season of Jarrett Stidham. So, you know, it's not all bad.
We do. I mean, I said it last week about Michael Pratt. Even more so now, I think we're going to get Michael Pratt, because the Vikings are clearly wanting to move up. The Patriots apparently are potentially willing to do so because they're more than a quarterback away. We don't really have the capital to go and fight with the teams that want to go up. One and two are pretty much locked in now, I think, with the Commanders getting rid of Howell. So we are either Jarrett Stidham and potentially Michael Pratt or worse, or at this point, maybe Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. Ryan Tannehill's out there, mate. Listen, dreams can happen. You could get Ryan Tannehill end his career as a Bronco. Like, it's not all bad news.
I wouldn't hate that. Although I'm not entirely sure where on the dream scale that rates. It's not a nightmare, but it's like one of those dreams that wakes you up for no apparent reason. You don't feel offended by it, but it's woken you up.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to give you the name. Just I had a best available chart, but I'm going to skip forward. Just to go on to these amazing quarterbacks that are available out there for the Broncos. There's Ryan Tannehill. There is Jimmy Garoppolo is out there, you know, very coveted, has been traded a couple of times. Teddy Bridgewater's out there. We all know how good Teddy is. Tyler Huntley, he's very exciting. He does dancing and moving and sort of stuff. Brian Hoyer, the ever perennial backup QB, is available. He's 38, by the way, so, you know, he's still got a few years left. Josh Dobbs, you know, not many teams can say that. Well, before last season, not many teams could say they had a genuine astronaut. Of course, he did play for a few teams last year. So, you know, he's well on his like career path to the Ryan. He's on the like Ryan Fitzpatrick like career arc at the moment. Let's not forget Nate Sudfeld is out there. Blaine Gabbert is out there. Carson Wentz is still out there. Kyle Allen, Trevor Siemian. Of course, he's been at the Broncos, so you know what you're getting. AJ McCarron. Matt Barkley, Logan Woodside, Felipe Franks. Felipe Franks, former Florida Gator Felipe Franks, who was absolutely terrible in college. Don't quite know. Pincey's asked, so you're not looking at Fields?
have I?
Is anyone looking at Fields? I don't think anyone is, genuinely. Don't think anyone is looking at Fields.
Is there still a world... excuse me. Is there still a world where Fields is a bear come the end of April?
100%. I'm completely sold on the fact he's a bear now until at least the start, at least training camp.
Which is terrible news if you then go and trade for him.
Well, I think, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fact that the league is out on Justin Fields, or if the fact that the Bears have valued him too high and have priced everyone out. And I don't know which one of those is true. If the first one is true and no one's that interested, someone will be when an injured player happens. So, like, we see it in training camp. A quarterback goes down. You have the Josh Dobbs arc, right? Where last season someone went down and they traded for it was well Kyler Murray, and then they were going to go with Clayton Tune, and then they decided Clayton Tune wasn't good enough, and they were like, okay, we've got no quarterback, and they traded Pittsburgh for Josh Dobbs, didn't they? Right at the start of the season, he had about 2 weeks before the start of the season, then he had to play for the Cardinals, did a really good job, and then he got traded to the Vikings to play a cover for Kirk Cousins when he went down. So, you know, there's that trajectory for him. And yeah, I think he was quite good at the Cardinals. I don't think he was quite as good at the Vikings. I think it's quite a lot to learn two playbooks in 1 year.
Especially when and when you're asked to go and play for the Vikings essentially 2 days after you've landed as well. There's
a lot hard. In that. Yeah, you know, he was set up to fail twice. He succeeded for me once and he failed the second time. I don't think that's an indicament of his talent. I think it's a situation that was nigh on impossible. I think very few players would have done very well in that situation. Then you have, so that's, you know, I think that is the trajectory that Fields is on. He's going to have to wait for a player to get injured, and then I think they trade for him. The alternative is that the Bears just completely drop his price and someone takes him as a backup. Now, the best backup spots I had for him are gone. So I thought the Colts or the Eagles, I thought made a lot of sense. Both those spots are gone. There really isn't anywhere. And back to Pitts's question, not looking at Fields, he is not an archetypal Sean Payton quarterback.
No, I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah, so I can't see a world where that is going to happen unless there really is everything bottoms out and there is no alternative. I think for me, Tannehill works. I think for me, a few other of the free agent quarterbacks, they're not sexy, they're not great, but I think there's options there. There's even backups in the league that I think suit Peyton more than Justin Fields. I just don't think that is his offense and how he likes to roll. So I just don't see that being an option. Pitsy's saying, I would take him as a backup at the Steelers. I see us taking a QB now in the draft as we only have Wilson on our roster now. Is Mason Rudolph signed somewhere, didn't he? So yeah, that's true. I don't see you taking a QB early. I think the plan is now Russell Wilson is the plan. Ultimately, I think, you know, and I mean, two minds about Russell Wilson. The first part of me is like, the Broncos effectively paying $80 million for him not to be on the team. Like, how bad has someone got to be that you'd rather not have them and pay them the money? Like, you've got to be genuinely horrifically bad, because they made no save. They've made a $1.21 million saving in him going, and $80 million they've got to pay out now.
Yeah, you're essentially like, saying that 18% of your roster, or however many it is, he's 18% bad enough to not play with however much that is of the salary cap.
But you've committed the money. What you're basically saying is, look, we've given you the money. There's nothing we can do. We would rather you weren't here. Like, we'd rather you, here's a paycheck, don't show up to work, go away. That is literally what they're saying. They're paying him not to show up.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to pay him anyway. So there's not, on the other side, for Pittsburgh, he's getting the league vet minimum.
Yeah.
You couldn't pay this guy a dollar less than what he is getting. And he's won a Super Bowl. He was on trajectory for a conversation around the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying I would have put him in the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying that there was a conversation that he would have entered had he continued the trajectory with the Seahawks. Obviously, that's taken a nosedive. He's got a lot to prove. I think he's got great coaches around him. If you had to pick a spot for him to land and improve, Pittsburgh was kind of the peak of it. And I think that now you're either going to see a rejuvenation in Russell Wilson, whether that's back to his previous best, whether that is an elevation on last year, we don't know. If he doesn't, then that is him done. Like, he's done in the league. If he doesn't succeed here this year, he is done. So I think the plan is obviously Russell Wilson long term. But the Steelers have basically got a free hit on this. We'll see if this works out. If it doesn't work out, they'll roll on. I can see the Steelers signing like a Blaine Gabbert. I think they'll get someone with a little bit of experience. Russell Wilson's pretty durable. He's not had that many injuries in his career. I don't think you'd be too worried about the deterioration and drop off of him getting injured. I think you'd feel like he's going to play for the year. So I think, you know, you'd bring someone in. So I think the Steelers picking someone in the draft. Yeah, maybe, but I wouldn't see it on day one. I probably wouldn't see it high on day two either. I think you'd be looking at a third round. And at which point, like, you can keep taking these third, fourth round guys, as the Steelers have done for years. They've always taken sort of a late round QB. None of these guys have worked, really. So it's like, you can keep dropping pennies into that fountain and hoping that something comes out. But I think ultimately it's either Russell Wilson, or if he's really as bad as it transpires to be, you're going to be picking pretty high in the draft and you're getting a quarterback next year.
Yeah. Do you think this question could go down a wormhole that is either a terrible question or we might not talk about anything else for the entirety of this podcast? So obviously Denver are on the hook for a lot of money, and Russell Wilson was never as good as advertised when he came. We should never have extended him before he'd even played a snap, let alone had the 2 years on his deal. But for the 1.21, however much money it is for Pittsburgh, where do you think statistically he has to be for? Do you think, at what point do you think he's bad? I'm really struggling to word this question. Obviously, bad for 80 million is anything other than good. If you're not remotely close to good, you are terrible because you are 80 million. Whereas, how bad do you have to be for that even 1.21 million to look bad? Or is this the Steelers saying, we're going to have Russell Wilson for a year because we want a quarterback next year?
I think the answer is neither. I think, look, I don't think on a league vet contract, like, the worst thing that will happen to Russell Wilson is he's crap, he'll get cut and leave. For the Steelers, for 1.21 million, you're not taking the chance.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to pay any quarterback that rate. Or if you pay a rookie minimum, you'll pay like a million.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So ultimately, it doesn't matter. You've paid him the very least he could get as a player. So it doesn't really matter to the Steelers in terms of risk is nil. It's nil. Like, if he's crap, he's crap. And then he goes, and then they draft one next year, or they trade for one, or they get one in free agency next year. If he's good, then that great, that works out. And then I think on top of that, for Russell Wilson's status in the Broncos, I think ultimately the Broncos are one of those sort of five teams that have over the years made some really bad decisions, and it's cost them significantly for a few years. I'd put the Bears in that category, I'd put the Commanders in that category. I'd put the Falcons in that category and the Panthers in that category, the other sort of teams that seem to historically make continually bad decisions. And I think for for Russell Wilson, I think, look, for him, this is really simple. It's he's now where Baker Mayfield was 12 months ago. He either plays really well and then he earns a new contract, which is the dream. He's got a completely clear path for this now. So he's got no excuse. He's got no contender, no challenger to uphold. He's not going to be in a competition with anybody. He's got the job. So it's a question of now. He just, all guns forward, he either takes this team to the playoffs, as that is the minimum expectation of the Steelers, or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, then he's probably gone. And if he's gone, then yeah, I don't think he's going to make them bad enough to maybe pick in the top five, because the rest of that roster is pretty good. I think you're probably looking at a team that is, you're probably looking at free agencies where they would address this next year or draft. But I don't think he's going to be bad enough. I don't think he was terrible last year. If he was on a $4 million contract last year and he hadn't won a Super Bowl, the perception of Russell Wilson last year would have been completely different. It would have been he was okay. He was sort of mediocre.
Yeah.
He was sort of league average. And it's the reason he's a flop is because he was paid all that money. He's won a Super Bowl. The expectation was up here. Whether or not he could ever make that expectation is a completely different story. I can make defenses of Russell Wilson to a degree, to a point, but ultimately he was below where he should have been as a player, and his standards dropped as a player. But having said that, he wasn't completely unstartable. He was dropped not because of his play. He was dropped because he refused to restructure his contract. It was like, well, you're going, so we can't win, so let's see what we got in Jared Stidham. We're on for the future now. You're out the door in March. You're gone. I'm just not going to play you because we're not in the playoff hunt.
Yeah.
We can't. Like, and it's a smart decision. It's the one thing that the Broncos did. You're going to go. We can't trade you because your contract's stupid. So you're going to go. So you're a sunk cost. You're a sunk cost. Therefore, we're going to write you out. And that's fine. And they looked at the future. So he's gone. And that's the one smart thing that they did. But yeah, I think for me that Russell Wilson is, if you think about the Steelers, he doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good. He has to be similar to Baker Mayfield and Tampa. The rest of the pieces are all there for him to win games. He's just got to effectively not lose games.
Yeah.
If he had the same season for the Steelers last year, it's not a flop, but the pay for the Broncos last year is exactly why it was an issue. Yeah, and I think expectation. You know, it's a big signing when you sign someone from the team that they won a Super Bowl from. Any quarterback that's won a Super Bowl and then goes somewhere else, it's a big... Carson Wentz, when he left Philly, he wasn't even a starter when he left Philly. That was still a big deal when he went to the Colts. It was still a big story, regardless of the money, because you win a Super Bowl with that franchise, yep. You leave, that's a big thing. So I think, like, for me, it's pretty straightforward. All Russell Wilson has to do is win games and not lose them. I don't think he has to statistically be brilliant. I just think he has to be statistically the 14th best quarterback in the league. And that'll be good enough. That'll be good enough. He'll earn a modest payday next year, but they'll be in, if he's the 14th best quarterback in the league statistically, the Steelers will be in the playoffs, and then they'll earn a payday. It's like Ben Roethlisberger right at the end. Now, I love Ben Roethlisberger, put him in the Hall of Fame. I know there's some issues, whatever, but take that aside, career wise, Hall of Fame quarterback for me. Ben Roethlisberger at the end was gone, he was completely gone, but he was good enough to where he just didn't lose games, he still got into the playoffs. When his arm had gone, because he could manage the game, he could get the ball, and that's all that you need in a Steelers offense. You don't need an electric, exciting quarterback. You just need someone who is not going to, who's going to make enough plays for you to win the game and not make enough mistakes for you to lose the game. And I think, as Pitsy said last season, if he has that kind of season in Pittsburgh, they probably are touching the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then you get a deal for like $15 million a year, $20 million a year. going forward, and it's a win-win for everyone. That's kind of how I see this playing out. But he could get greedy. If he gets greedy, then he'll be out on his backside.
Yeah. Interesting one. Well, we've dived into nothing so far, Murph. Where do you want to start?
I think let's take the news on the big retirement today, because it's a player who I might stick him in the Hall of Fame now because he's that good.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen any updates in the last couple of hours on your phone, Aaron Donald has just retired from the NFL, everybody. So if we're breaking that news to you, please do credit us for that news break, because we would love that. No, you're right. I think over the last 4 or 5 years, there's not been a defensive end anywhere near him when he's good. You can't double block him. And why do you think he's retired now?
I've been thinking about this, and the truthful answer is I don't know. I'd have got it a year from now. So a year from now, he'd have been he's in the last year of his contract with the Rams. It's for a lot of money. Now, it's interesting why he's done it today. He's done it today because he effectively saves the Rams about $30 million in cap space. And that would have all been fully guaranteed today, effectively. So he would have retired yesterday. It's broken today. But he's done that so the Rams don't have to pay him $30 million. So he could have retired next week and he'd been given that $30 million. So it shows you the character and the mark of the man to basically say, I'm not going to take that $30 million, but thank you for everything. I think he's done it now. I think he's just at the point where he's weighed up the risk of, I think it's two things for me. One is the risk of his body and his injuries versus future long-term damage. He's been in the league 10 years, a lot of hits. Do you go again one more year for $30 million? It is a lot of money to leave behind. But maybe if he's had a few too many injuries, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe he's just thought, for $30 million, I've made my money. I've made $100 million in my career. I'm quite happy. I dust my hands. I'm done. I'm not going to risk it for another $30 million. I don't actually know how much he's made, but I imagine it's north of $100 million. And I think he's just not got greedy, which is, I respect massively, by the way. I think 99% of players play on for this 1 year and then leave next year because he's on nothing next year.
Yeah.
The other part of me also then tells me he probably has looked at the Rams roster and gone, nah, I don't think we're winning a ring this year.
Yeah.
And I think he's just got to the point of he's like, well, and then the other awkward question is next year. So maybe he's gone, I want to retire a Ram. I'm under contract as a Ram. There's no questions. I've been a one-team player my entire career. I'm a Ram, done. Whereas if he leaves next year, he technically leaves as a free agent. I mean, he could have retired right before his contract ended and get into the murky waters. I don't think it would have made a difference to people like myself. Some people might have said, well, he's only retired because he's at the end of his contract and he can't get another contract. I personally don't think he's got a legacy that he needs to worry about. He's going in the Hall of Fame. He's the first ballot Hall of Fame. Don't know how many times he's been Defensive Player of the Year, 3-4 times. I think at the end of the day, he's done everything he can in his power to have a great career. I wouldn't have judged him for taking $30 million, playing 17 more games, and then walking off into the sunset. Alternatively, he's decided that he wants to leave now. And fair enough to him. Like, he's earned that right as a player who has been at the top of the game for so long. And maybe he felt that he wasn't at the top of the game anymore. Maybe he felt that last season he looked at himself and went, I've dipped a little. I don't want to be at that level. The roster's not going to compete for a Super Bowl. Maybe this is just it for me. I'm done.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, like, fair play. Like, incredible career. He'll be in the Hall of Fame 5 minutes after he's eligible, basically. You know, he's one of those players that will go in unanimously, knowing anyone's going to question it. And he goes down as a one-team man, which is rare these days. So a massive congratulations to him and a wonderful career. He's a massive loss to the NFL. One of the greatest defensive players we will watch in our lifetime play the game for a decade. And so, you know, it's a loss, but I understand it completely. And you know, I don't know if I would have made that decision, been brave enough to walk away from $30 million for a year, but, you know, maybe he made his lot and gone, yeah, I've looked at the numbers, I've got enough, I'm all right. And I respect that.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. We've got some quarterback trading to happen, Murph. I'll rattle through these and then we can talk to them. So Pickett's been traded to the Eagles for essentially a pick swap. Sam Howell was traded to the Seahawks for pick upgrades. So Washington's moved up from the fourth to the mid-third round and the sixth to a mid-fifth round. And Desmond Ridder was traded to the Cardinals from Rondell Moore going the other way for nothing but the players. So quarterbacks.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the actual end up result of that. I believe it was straight players. I could be wrong.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I've not seen.
I mean, you've now traded the two highest taken quarterbacks in the 2022 draft.
Yep.
That would normally be really impressive.
If they weren't both backups.
Yeah, but exactly that. Here's the funny thing. So, first of all, is it fair to say that Sam Howell's probably had the best career of all the quarterbacks in that class?
Oh, yeah, last year, Sam Howell was gunning it. Absolutely.
So, I'm just thinking, there were five quarterbacks that were... there were six quarterbacks that were drafted in that. So, I've just pulled up here. I was looking for... So, Kenny Pickett has been traded. Desmond Ridder has been traded. Malik Willis is the Titans quarterback three on the roster. So pretty much finished in the NFL.
Yep.
Matt Corral is in the UFL. Bailey Zapp is the backup at the Patriots, and Sam Howell's been traded. So none of those players are starters.
That's the worst class in living history.
It's got to be. It's got to be the worst class ever made.
That is just dreadful.
I mean, that is really bad. I mean, the Kenny Pickett trade, I like, he's from New Jersey. He's a Philly fan. So, like, for me, you're right. It was just players. I thought it was, but I wasn't entirely sure. Yeah, so in terms of Pickett's an Eagles fan. He obviously didn't feel like he could beat out Russell Wilson for competition. And he's like, I want to go. That from what I've been reading, that seems to be what was the conversation. He's gone for virtually nothing. At 22, he's gone for from a late, basically Philly go down from their comp pick down to a mid fourth. So it's a free pick anyway. 2025 seventh. So virtually free for their backup. That's fine. People are going to sit there and go, what? Why have we traded for Kenny Pickett? Like, he's cost you basically a bag of sand. Like, like you live in a desert and he cost you a bag of sand. That is effectively what that's cost. Or, you know, we could go in Eskimo, you've sold a bag of snow. Like, ultimately, it's cost you less than nothing, effectively. A free pick and 225, two, and not even you've lost that pick. You moved down 22 spots. You still get the free pick and two 2025 sevens, which are basically just a hope you hit something.
Yep.
So, like, why not? I know he's not an exciting quarterback. I know he's not. He's also not a completely terrible quarterback. He's just not like he's not great. He's a bottom end of starting quarterback. He's just one of those that he's like the guy that would go out if the speed limit's 40 miles an hour. He'll drive at 38.
Yeah.
That's Kenny Pickett, right? That's how he is. And like, apparently he's a nice guy. I don't want to rag on him because he's a good guy. And Sam Howell, I don't really get it.
I don't get it.
I don't really get this from the Commanders because you bring in Mariota, right? I've seen enough of Mariota. Saw it last season with the Falcons. Or was it the season before? Season before the Falcons. He's just not an NFL starter. He's just not. There's not enough about him that makes him an NFL starter. He wasn't mm-hmm. that good with the Titans. I know he had one playoff campaign where he was okay. He also, in that playoff campaign, he did catch his own touchdown pass, which, you know, very few guys in history do that. that's the best Marcus Mariota memory I have. But, you know, in Atlanta, very poor. I think that's fair to say. I don't think he's a starter. He's really the only quarterback on that roster now. So they're going to go Drake May. And maybe they've just gone, look, we like the professionalism of Mariota to train a new quarterback. And yeah, maybe he's just like a coach in the locker room kind of guy. And that's fine. If that's what you bought him in for, fine. Quite expensive, but fine. He's getting a lot of money. But, yeah. And then Sam Howell goes to Seahawks. I'll be honest, I think he could beat out Geno in the right environment. In the right environment, I think he could beat Geno out.
I think he was better than he was perceived to be last year because of the amount of times the boy got hit. I mean,
yeah,
I think you're right. I don't know whether he will, but he's got a chance at Seattle as opposed to
I don't think he wins the job in camp. I'm not saying this, but I'm saying if Geno makes a mistake and the pressure builds on Geno, you know, I can see a situation. The one who's the odd man out in all this is Drew Lock. Drew Lock is now like dust. But yeah, I don't really get it from Washington's point of view, other than I think it's just Mariota training up Drake May, which they're quite different style quarterbacks. Like, if you're going to get a trainer out there, why not get a guy who is similar to Drake May?
Yeah, or Sam Howell has been in the league now, knows what the league is about, and is also from the North Carolina college where he played football. Like, yeah, those guys.
But I think it's different. Sam Howell is at the start of his career.
Oh, no.
Sam Howell's not going to walk in and go, hey, buddy, I know you're coming to take my job. Yeah, look, let me show you around. Oh, yeah. By the way, here's the offense. Here's how you do it. Like, he's not going to. Sam Howell's going to be an absolute douche to him because he wants the job. Whether Marcus Mariota is coming in with the assumption of, hey, you're basically a glorified trainer. Like, yeah, your job is to make him ready. I think it's all about expectation setting. But I just think for me, I'd like to have seen a player, like, if you're going to bring in that style of quarterback, bring in a quarterback who has a similar-ish sort of style of play. And I mean, I guess there really isn't too much of one. I guess Mariota is to a degree because he's a bit of a scrambler. But
Tannehill, he doesn't really run.
No, Tannehill doesn't really run. Yeah, I guess Mariota is kind of the best fit of what's out there. Yeah, Josh Dobbs might have been the other one. Or Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley's a baller. But then he's quite young at the start of his career. I don't know how that works. But if he's getting a payday, I don't know. Anyway, now we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Vikings are traded up to give themselves a second first-round pick. Fill me in on the details of this one.
So they traded. They've traded up into the first round again. They've got pick 23. So I think for me, they're gearing up to trade. They're basically looking to get up the board, and they're going to use two first round picks. That's what it looks like to me. So they traded with Houston. So they've given up pick 42, pick 188. They get back pick 232 and they've traded a 2025 second round pick. So they've given up a fair bit to go up these 19 spots, which is what they have gone up. They've gone up 19 spots. But they've clearly done that with the view of they're going to package their one with this one and they're going to try and tempt someone like New England.
Yeah.
Maybe someone like Arizona into swapping and taking the haul. That's what it feels like for QB. It did shock me that they settled on Sam Darnold, which makes me think that they haven't settled on Sam Darnold, that they clearly want to go with someone else, which doesn't shock me all that much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they're gearing up to take a quarterback. The one that would probably make the most sense from a schematic point of view of the way they're set up is probably J.J. McCarthy. that probably feels like that's the move they're going to make.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like it. I think you've gambled quite a bit price, but I like it because I think if you end up packaging what's going to be this year's second, next year's second, and a late round pick swap, which doesn't really, let's take that out of the equation. That's irrelevant. So you're basically swapping your late second or your second this year, your second next year to take a quarterback that could be your franchise. I actually think on paper that kind of makes sense if you get the right guy. If you get the wrong guy, it's expensive. But if you think about the 49ers spend 3 first round picks on Trey Lance, for example. Like, I feel like it's a better mitigation of risk.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And then finally, before we get to the free agency news and what it means for your fantasy football teams, Keenan Allen was traded to the Bears for a 4th round pick late last night. We would have missed this one on the pod, Murph. Does this make Keenan Allen the alpha on a team with DJ Moore in it? Or will they have to 1A, 1B it?
Yeah, you know, they play very different roles. So if you think about DJ Moore's going to be the perimeter guy, Keenan Allen's going to be more that sort of inside sort of slot plus kind of guy, working more the inside, the sort of middle routes. And then you've got DJ Moore will be more the perimeter guy. There's room for both of them. The archetypal example I can give you, and I hate going back to the Tampa Bay Bucks, but this is the Chris Godwin and the Mike Evans scenario. Just the difference is they're obviously schematically very different players. But effectively, that's how they try and utilize them. They'll try and use Allen, who's a bit bigger in the sort of those crossing routes, in those short range yardage areas to get Caleb Williams, who they're no doubt going to draft, really comfortable. They'll give him a big target there. They've also traded for an extra tight end to give him some extra blocking. So they're peppering Caleb Williams with all of these targets in the short to medium range to give him as many open opportunities to hit guys early, which is great. And then you've got DJ Moore for when he's starting to get confident. I think for me, if I was looking at it from a fantasy landscape, I think Keenan Allen is the guy I'd want to own year one. Going forward, it really depends on how he's going to adjust Caleb Williams. If they're going to throw the ball significantly 500 times a season, there is enough there for both those guys to eat. If it was Justin Fields running this offense, then absolutely not. This would be an absolute mitigated disaster. But the future and productivity, I think for me, Allen is slightly more safe. I think he's slightly more rookie proof because of the type of role. I see Allen getting 120, 130 targets underneath and in that short to medium yardage range, which means I think you see Moore take a bit of a hit. But having said that, I think there's room for both of these guys to be relevant. I think the longer term view will be for Moore to be the more relevant fantasy guy. But I think he takes a step back this year because he's not the only show in town.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm very scared by it, just because I'm not entirely sure what I think Caleb Williams is going to be yet. But that's more on me than...
So then let me reassure you a little bit, right? So we know that Fields is not very good at throwing the football, and we also know that Fields doesn't throw the ball a huge volume, right? So we know that volume is going to increase regardless. Even if it grows by, just say, 10%, which it won't, it will grow significantly more than that. There's 106 vacated targets already in Chicago from who have left. That I can see a huge amount of those going to Keenan Allen. So if Keenan Allen gets the lion's share of that, let's say he gets 80 of those 106 vacated targets, which is very possible, by the way. And then that volume, the volume of that offense ticks up another, say, 10%, and they throw the ball another 50, well, maybe more than 10%. Let's say they throw the ball another 50 times over what they were doing with Justin Fields over the course of a season, which when you work that out is an extra 3 times a game. So that's 51 times. So if Caleb Williams throws the ball 3 times a game more than Justin Fields did, that's 51 more targets. So then all of a sudden you add 51 to 106. That's 157 targets. I can see Keenan Allen getting 110 or 120 of those. They'll be high percentage targets. He makes 80, 90 catches. He'll be a low-end wide receiver too on those numbers. With upside.
I need more upside. Anyway,
It depends on the volume. But that for me is like the floor. So that's the floor. The upside is if the passing offense goes up, nuclear.
I like that. I like it as a floor. I appreciate your laying of some solid laminate there, sir. Okay. How do you want to attack this next segment, Murph? Because I'm not sure when you planned on getting here, but we've got here at 40-odd minutes.
Well, I think I can rattle through the quarterbacks fairly quickly. We've already talked about Russell Wilson, so I think let's rattle through the quarterbacks because there's six of them on the list. I think you're looking at this thinking there's three of them that will be fantasy worthy and three of them that will be backups with some fantasy implications. So I think we can rattle through these in a couple of minutes. The big one's Kirk Cousins. He's got a nice array of weapons. He's gone for a lot of money. He's going to end up with like 330 odd million since he started playing football, guaranteed revenue or guaranteed money, which is just mad. I look at Kirk Cousins and I sit there and think he's going to be good. He is coming off an Achilles injury. I mean, Kirk Cousins tends to go at like in drafts as like the QB10 to QB13 every year in drafts. And I feel like that's exactly where his value is again. And he's going to return that sort of value again, maybe a shade less if he's playing a little hurt. Don't know what the injury's like. I think Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. He'll be productive. He'll be on the end of the QB1 conversation. He'll squeak in. He'll just miss. But he'll be that sort of in that range. He's as safe as it comes in that range. I don't think anything changes from what Kirk Cousins has done in his career. And I don't think everyone's going to sit there and go like, oh, it's huge upside for Kirk Cousins because he's playing with good weapons. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's played with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison last year. So I don't think he's like got an upgrade of weapons. I think he's decreased in weapons somehow. But I do think he has got good pass catches to get around to. I think if I was the owners of, say, Drake London, for example, I'd be pretty excited. Darnell Mooney's gone there?
Yep.
Darnell Mooney, I'd be a little bit interested in him. Rondell Moore's gone there. He could be really sneaky, low-end value. We don't really know how these guys are going to shake up, but if you took Drake London in a rookie draft a couple of years ago, this move excites you. That's the big plus side. Everyone's like going to go, oh, it's Kyle Pitts season again. I'm not so sure. Kirk Cousins doesn't have a long history of supplementing tight ends to big finishes.
Yeah.
Obviously, it depends on the scheme. It depends on the fit. I've seen Raheem Morris coach. He's not a heavy user of tight ends. I think that he'll line up more. But the fact that they've brought in a load of wide receivers means that I think the opportunities for Pitts to get out wide more will be diminished. I think Pitts is fine. I think Pitts is going to get overdrafted, and that's fine. I'll have probably none of Kyle Pitts again this year. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I think he's a mid-range tight end. He's a mid, sort of tight end 8, early numbers, picking out the top of my head, kind of where I see him finishing. Drake London, I think, is an interesting high upside wide receiver 2. If he stays healthy, he could do things. I like Mooney as sort of a wide receiver 3. Rondell Moore's going to get involved. He'd be good sort of flex play / bench play most weeks. It's an exciting Bijan's going to get an arrow up from this. I think there's players that will benefit from having Kirk Cousins there, but I think Kirk Cousins kind of is like a level move for me. Some will call it an arrow down. I think it's about level because they will just stick to passing the ball more. He'll keep that volume. I think he'll be in good stead.
Nice. We've mentioned Sam Darnold.
I mean, Sam, if we did the show yesterday, I'd be talking about Sam Darnold as someone with potential upside to break into the top 16 fantasy quarterbacks. I think because they're, look, if you look at the fact that they don't have a lot of, like, their offense is all geared to the pass. Kevin O'Connell's all about the pass. You know, they would let Sam Darnold rip the ball 35, 40 times a game. And he'll get points that way as a result. He'll be interceptions, but they're not that costly in fantasy football. I'm not saying he's going to be the 15th, 16th best quarterback in the league. But I think from a points perspective, I think he's going to be in that sort of range. And then we've had what's today's happened. So I'm glad that we kind of did this show later, because if we did the show yesterday, I'd have been saying, hey, he's someone I'd probably be tacking on late in drafts and just seeing what happens as a, yeah, let's take a shot and see what it's like. And I'll get in a bit on the Darnold Express. But now I know they're going to go quarterback. You're not going to get a full season out of Sam Darnold, I don't think, especially if they get J.J. McCarthy. So I'm more inclined to kind of hit the brakes on this now and go, eh, he'll start the season. He will definitely play half the season. How long past that, I don't know. I mean, this could all change. The Vikings could have us all fooled, and they're going to go up and get Marvin Harrison Jr., and then they're going to have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and Marvin Harrison Jr. all play together with Sam Darnold. Or they could get a running back. I mean, they won't get a running back. But yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, I think yesterday I'd be more optimistic. Today I'm more cautious with the news that's happened. Russell Wilson talks about mid-range QB. I think he's going to be fine. He's not someone I'm going to want in a 1QB format. In a 2QB format, I'd feel pretty comfortable. I kind of would have him in what I kind of had a few players last year in that sort of 16 to 18 range. And I think I'd feel pretty comfortable having him in the super flex because his floor is going to be pretty good because he's going to get a few hundred yards on the ground. But he's not got much of a ceiling. So I think he's someone that I in a super flex format, I quite like him to anchor my stud QB. In a 1QB league, I've got absolutely no interest in owning him because he's got the upside of the Titanic, effectively. The best you can hope for is he doesn't sink. That's kind of the best result. So there is
You cannot tell me that the engineers who built the Titanic were going for the upside is that it didn't sink.
Is that not the upside of every boat that built? Surely the upside is that it doesn't sink. Well, then that's where they went wrong, because the main thing sunk.
No.
Yes, it was an iceberg. That's irrelevant. But ultimately, surely the thing that you're supposed to build, the moonshot, is that it continues to work for a long period of time. If I built a car, right, the upside is in 10 years' time or 15 years' time, that car is still working, or 50 years' time. That's the moonshot. In 50 years' time, that car is still working in working order.
No.
Surely that's the upside. No.
That is an additional bonus. There is no way you're, because then you just might as well build a tank.
But my point is, like, surely you build something with the expectation that it continues to work for a period of time. And so, like, and that's what I mean.
I think
there's no upside to, like, to Russell Wilson, drafting Russell Wilson, there is no upside. You're basically like, if he comes in at QB 16, that is as good as it gets, really, for me. Maybe 14. I think I said 14 earlier. But he's not making QB 1. So he's irrelevant in fantasy football, like 1QB league. So there's no point in taking him, is my point. There's almost no chance that he gets there. Famous last
Titanic.
Words. This is the part where you cut this bit out. And then we're talking about Russell Wilson finishing the season as the QB3. And I look like a complete freaking idiot.
No, because this is where you are lucky, Murph. The chance of me clipping anything to do positive with Russell Wilson is completely and utterly never going to happen. So even if you are wrong and he does get the top three QBs, unless people listen to this or watch this show, no one's going to remember because I'm not clipping it. And also that Titanic reference will be back. I'm not prepared to sit on the fact that the upside of the Titanic was that it did not sink.
It did sink. That's what I mean. The upside should have been that it didn't float.
That is baseline entry for a boat, that it doesn't sink. There's no upside. You don't get on a boat thinking, I hope this boat has upside and it stays afloat. Otherwise,
but the engineers, your upside is it doesn't sink, surely.
There's going to be a bonus pod on. I'm going to get a shipbuilder in. There's going to be something here that's
brilliant. Well, we need to build the harbour again anyways after last year. It was flooded. And then, yeah, I guess the only other one to talk about is Marcus Mariota, because I do think he'll probably start the season as... Oh, and Jacoby Brissett. I guess you can talk about them both. I think there's a world where Jacoby Brissett plays the entire season.
Me too.
As the Patriots quarterback. So, again, wouldn't mind him in a 2QB league. Do not want to touch him in a 1QB league. Yeah. I think he'll be round about like QB 20. Mariota, I don't want to touch in any format. You can just see you later. Like the best case for Marcus Mariota is he plays 6 games. That to me is like the high watermark of what you'll get out of Marcus Mariota.
What's all these boat?
I'm sticking on the nautical theme.
Yeah,
the high watermark is he plays 6 games. That's kind of, if he plays 6 games, then, you know, they've done, you know. But the thing is, I say the high watermark, that would be the absolute low watermark for the Commanders. Because if he plays 6 games, that means they have failed miserably in their pick and everything else. So, yeah, I think, he can go. I guess, because I want to spend the time on running backs, and it might be that let's see how we get on. I'll rattle through wide receivers. So, obviously, Deontay Johnson's been traded to the Panthers. He's gone from bad offense to bad offense. So he's gone from playing from Kenny Pickett to Bryce Young. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, David Tepper is the worst owner in the league by a country mile.
Yep.
I mean, they continue to baffle me with just how bad they are. That Brian Burns trade was awful. Absolutely shockingly bad.
Yeah.
Considering what they turned down for him from the Rams a year before, like they've basically lost. They've lost. I was trying to. I saw a tweet from Scott Barrett. So they lost this. They lost this year's 101. They lost last year's first round pick. They lost DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, and next year's second, and another first round pick. And in exchange, they got a 1-year rental on Brian Burns, Bryce Shocking. Young, and yeah, another sort of fringe player. And it's like horrific. Like they're just horrifically bad. I feel sorry for Deontay Johnson. Like he's one of my favorite wide receivers, and he's just like, I get it on paper. Like the guy has got the highest like success catch rate and contested catch rate in the league. Like in terms of ESPN do metrics with 538. And he basically, like, he is statistically the best catching wide receiver in the NFL in terms of, like, likely to catch a pass from the separate metrics that they do. So him to Bryce Young, like, okay, makes sense.
Yep.
But, like, they haven't There's got anyone else.
Exciting about it.
No, I kind of, like, I don't know where to put Deontay Johnson. Like, for me, it kind of says, like, if he scrapes to a wide receiver 3, would you be happy? I mean, I don't think he'll be happy, but I think he's kind of in that realm. You kind of need Bryce Young to take a huge step forward for Deontay Johnson to make it into a wide receiver 2 conversation. I can't see any path to where Deontay Johnson's a wide receiver 1, unfortunately. No. Not on that offense. And people are talking about Dave Canales being the quarterback whisperer. Yeah, I mean, look, he did it with Geno. He did it with Baker Mayfield. I also watched him for a year. His play calling is, it's okay. It's not inspiring. Like, I didn't walk away from a year of watching Dave Canales going, this is an offensive genius. I walked away from him thinking, oh, well, he's better than Byron Leftwich. But then I reckon, like, the Titanic and half the battle in the Titanic could have been a better coach than Byron Leftwich. So I just like think that's what I had Friday for a joke. I just think like Deontay Johnson. Yeah, I feel gutted because a lot of my dynasty teams have him, and they hurt a little bit today because I'd rather him getting balls from Russell Wilson. George Pickens to the moon though, because that would be a great one. Like, I reckon he shoots right up. Darnell Mooney to the Falcons, kind of talked about. I think he's a wide receiver 3 there. I think Drake London will get the majority of the balls from Bijan, and I think there's some room for Darnell Mooney, but not loads. Gabe Davis to Jacksonville. Jacksonville continue to sign weird wide receivers. The range of outcomes from Gabe Davis could be anywhere from like wide receiver 15 overall to like wide receiver 150. You could literally just get a dartboard and just spin it. He could go anywhere. It's just one of those weird ones that everyone really scoffed when they signed Zay Jones, and Zay Jones turned out to be pretty good. They scoffed when they gave Christian Kirk all that money. Christian Kirk turned out to be pretty good. And yet the one that everyone thought would be really good, Calvin Ridley, really wasn't all that good there.
Yeah. Just out of interest, where is UCF in Florida?
In Orlando.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because obviously he was from UCF. I didn't know if it was near Jacksonville going home.
Yeah, it's a couple of hours. It's not far.
Yeah. That makes a bit of sense, I suppose.
Go Golden Knights.
Go Golden Knights.
Contested national champions in 2017? Should know that.
Yeah.
Unofficial, official national champions.
Okay.
Unofficial, official national champions. They got a claimed national title. I think it's what it officially goes down as in they're claiming a national title. I'm not joking. I know.
It's just way too much official, unofficial claiming, officially, unofficially
that's
claiming.
Because no one put him in the freaking playoffs. You're undefeated and you don't get in the playoffs. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, that is
everyone
utterly
you were supposed to play, you don't get in the playoffs. This is why it has to be an 8 or a 16 team playoff.
Didn't today something come out about an expansion?
I think they've been talking about it for a while. I think it will go to 8 teams. It needs to be 16 for me.
I'm sure I saw something on Yahoo today about confirmed expansion, or I don't know. It was a headline. It's crazy on Friday. Marquise Brown to the Chiefs, 1 year, $11 million, $7 million guaranteed. Are they just trying to replicate Tyreek Hill's speed?
Yeah, I think it works for him. The question with him is health.
Yeah.
I just think at this point, like, he's done, if you think about it, he's done so much to where he's kind of like, he's been tipped to do so much and done very little in his career. So I don't really know.
I wasn't a massive fan coming out, if I'm honest.
Yeah. All right. So they have confirmed it's a 12-team college football playoff.
See, I knew something.
I'm happy with that. I'm happy, like, that's good. I'm all right with that. So there you go. So I think with Brown, I think he could work in the right system. You play to his strengths, but I kind of see him more as this DeSean Jackson kind of type. Speed still over the top, will make big plays. He's the kind of guy that will have a 3 for 129 and 2 day. Like, that's kind of where I see him thriving.
Yep.
I think a lot more people in the fantasy space are more excited about Marquise Brown than, say, I am. I'm still all in on Rashee Rice. I think that's the guy I want to own. I don't want to touch anyone else. In Kansas City, in all the years they've had Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, have proven that they cannot support two high-scoring wide receivers.
Yes.
So why do we care who the other receiver is for fantasy purposes? Like, it's Rashee Rice. You don't need to care about anyone else. Doesn't matter. Yeah. They tried it with Juju, didn't work. Tried it with everyone else. Like, it doesn't matter. They have one wide receiver, one tight end, one quarterback, one running back that are fantasy relevant. They're the most narrow fantasy football team that you can get. No one else matters. Just stay away. The upside is you have like 2 or 3 league or game winning weeks out of him. And that's it. Best ball, I'll take him for that reason. I'll take him as a late round flyer in best ball, but he's probably too expensive for me.
We should also add Curtis Samuel to this list, Murph. 3-year deal with the Bills.
Yeah, I just sort of got to the point of players I stopped caring about.
That's very fair.
I mean, like, what's Curtis Samuel going to do at the Bills? He's not going to be that fantasy relevant. I could have picked like four or five other guys, but we said this was already a pretty meh class. These are the only guys I think are worth. We haven't talked about Calvin Ridley going to the Titans. That's the one that I think does have potential to be blockbuster if they all get it together. And that's Will Levis, the new coaching staff, and Calvin Ridley. They paid him like an alpha. Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see what they do now. But that's more in line with the kind of blockbuster deal of someone that will do quite well. I still don't think he'll be a wide receiver one, but I think he could definitely put together some really good weeks. I mean, do they still have Nuke Hopkins?
D-Hop. Yeah, I was going to say, I think so. I mean, on paper, that's a pretty terrifying pairing.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but also like how... I just think like, is there enough room for all of them?
Yeah, not for fantasy. Like, more for football itself for the Titans, but...
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. I think I'm looking at that and go, it should be good for Ridley. I think it's going to take some time. I think last season people expected too much. He hadn't played for 2 years. That's always going to have an impact. But I think Ridley's going to have a good shot at being decent in fantasy football. The worry is, and I'm going to put the comp here, that the downside of him is Corey Davis. That we just see another Corey Davis situation in Tennessee.
Oh, Corey Davis. Studio legend.
Studio legend. That's why I had to throw him out of it. So it'd be interesting. I think again, he's a player I would look in drafts. Depending on the ADP, I think he's going to be overpriced.
Yeah, agreed.
So we could do the tight ends. There's not really anything. Gerald Everett to the Bears, but they've still got Cole Kmet. Colby Parkinson got a lot of money.
Where, who?
Colby Parkinson. He was with Seattle, and now he's with the Rams. He got a 3-year, $22.5 million contract, $15.5 million guaranteed.
That's a load of money.
That's a load of money for a pretty average tight end. Not fantasy relevant, so don't worry about it. I don't think any of these guys are really fantasy relevant. Irv Smith, nothing. Jonnu Smith in Miami, that's just where tight ends go to retire and drink cocktails. Mike Gesicki to the Bengals could be somewhat interesting from a red zone gamble and get your tight end in the end zone weak kind of guy. But I don't love it. Like, Gerald Everett's not going to be a big thing. And yeah, Colby Parkinson's not going to be a thing either. So yeah, Mike Kosicki's probably the only one there I'd probably give some credence to. I think we hit running backs next week because that's definitely the more interesting of the position groups. But long story short, to summarize, Kirk Cousins, high-end QB2, low-end QB1, Russell Wilson, mid-range QB2, and don't touch anyone else at QB. Calvin Ridley could be anywhere from a low-end wide receiver 2 to Corey Davis. Johnson Johnson's going to be at best a wide receiver 3. Darnell Mooney, probably a low-end wide receiver 3. Gabe Davis could be literally anywhere from extremely brilliant to completely obscure. Basically what he was all of his career. He's going to infuriate people no end. Marquise Brown is going to be overpriced. Probably a decent best ball pick. Probably not someone I want to touch in season-long fantasy football. Unless he's cheap. If he's cheap, I'd spin it because I think he has that week-winning upside. But I think for every week you're going to get a week-winning upside, I think you're going to get a lot of pain. And tight ends, just don't take tight ends. No need. There's no irrelevant position in fantasy football, as it's continually proved every single year. Best available players out on the market in free agency. Ryan Tannehill, we've talked about, and Josh Dobbs and Gray, and Tyler Huntley. They're the best QBs out there. Justin Fields, who nobody wants, and is at home making milkshakes or, you know, looking at, or maybe watching Titanic on DVD. thinking, using that as a metaphor for his career.
Woof.
You weeping. Yeah, woof. Hey, the guy has a 60% completion percentage and has lost the majority of his games. I have no sympathy for him. Running back, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon, Deonta Foreman, and Clyde Oberteller. Who would have thought when Clyde Oberteller was taking the first round would be here now and like nobody wants him? There is some good wide receivers out there. Mike Williams is out there, OBJ, Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel, Michael Thomas. And then tight ends for you tight end lovers. There is one tight end available out there that's worth mentioning about. It's Logan Thomas. Everyone else is not worth mentioning at all. And we'll do running backs next week because that's, I think, oh, actually, we'll probably have to hold it off next week. Because next week we have a great guest with us. We have legendary Canadian Buffalo fan Justin Boone back in the house.
Nice.
Which I'm excited about. So Justin Boone, booked him a while ago. He is in the house next Thursday. So that will be a fun one. So maybe we'll have to do a quick segment somewhere about these running backs because it's by far the most interesting and probably has the most implications for fantasy. Maybe we talk about it with Justin. I don't know how it's going to pan out. We'll see how we get on. But yeah, I think there's still a lot more moves to happen. I think, as you said, with your dynasty teams, hold on to your seat belts and hope your teams don't get too disrupted too much. And yeah, last thing on Listener League t-shirts, I guess.
Yeah. They all went out. The UK ones have landed, which is a huge relief. And the four international ones should be with you soonish. I cannot give you a date or a time or even closer to soonish than that. But hopefully it won't be long.
Hopefully yeah, it should it be probably be another week or so. So yeah, it should be good. Those guys will get their t-shirts. And then I'll start sorting out the champion of champions. Work out how many spots we got left over for the champion of champions. So keep an eye on that one.
If you did get a Listener League t-shirt and you really, really like it and you want to put some pictures on either wherever social media it is that you perhaps frequent these days, if you're watching now, Murphy's holding up his. If you do like them.
Everyone else's, I assume.
Why?
Because it's black.
Yeah, yours is different to everyone else's because it's black. But the design Murph just showed on the camera, and shout out to the over 220 people who are currently watching right now. If you like that design, I'm sure we can organize something for an FFCC t-shirt if there is enough interest. So if you do want to put your t-shirts on the X machine for people to see, I'm sure we'll be able to get a design up for the FFCC so we can try and raise even more charity money for the Crohn's and Colitis charity that we're supporting. And I guess in our love for Murph, we're trying to support as many people along that fight journey as possible. So, yeah, the more money we can raise, the better. So once the Champions of Champions is done, we'll get some T-shirts potentially designed and try and raise a bit more money that way this year. But to those people who are watching, we shout you out. We appreciate you joining us. To those OGs still listening on the podcast form, we appreciate each and every one of your ears, both if you happen to have one in each side, not ears, earpieces.
We got a Da Vinci situation going on. It's an all kind of new Da Vinci Code scenario going on here.
No, nothing that complicated, I'm afraid. But Rush Nation, until we talk to Justin Boone next week, enjoy your free agency. Hold on to your seats because it's going to be explosive. That's going to do it for this week. And until next week, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.